Tuesday morning was my first time back in a month with my covenant group of those in ministry who gather together each week to share our lives and our spiritual disciplines and support one another. And it was so good to be back. And it seemed like the conversation kept going back to last week's scripture on the fear of the Lord, wisdom as the fear of the Lord. And the conclusion we had around the table Tuesday morning was that maybe we don't have a healthy fear of the Lord anymore because of what Bonhoeffer called cheap grace. That we accept the grace of God so easily. We don't expect to make a sacrifice. We don't expect to have to do much. God's good, God loves us, and we get all the benefits. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a Protestant minister who was hanged by the Germans in a concentration camp because stopping that evil was so important to him that he was in a plot to assassinate Hitler. That just believing in the gospel was not enough in the face of that kind of evil. That man did not believe in cheap grace. When Jesus was talking to the multitudes, and among them were his disciples, we know at the end there was about 120. There were probably more up until this point in the Gospel of John. And what Jesus said about his sacrifice and becoming the bread of life, and that we could not get to the kingdom unless we would eat his flesh and drink his blood, was so offensive that a man would actually say that, that many left him right then. And there was complaining among the disciples who stayed. See, Jesus knew that there is a cosmic battle going on. It's been going on ever since the first sin in the Garden of Eden. There's a battle going on between right and wrong and good and evil and darkness and light. If you pick up a newspaper, if you turn on a radio, if you watch your television set, if you go to the movies, we know that fear and violence and darkness are a part of life. But when, as Christians, we accept cheap grace, we come to the church to escape the ugliness of the world rather than to be equipped to fight that ugliness, darkness, and evil. Now, sometimes maybe it's not an evil as great as an Adolf Hitler, but there's plenty to go around in our world. It may be the darkness and hatred of Al-Qaeda, or the darkness and hatred of Hamas. This morning I turned on the television to check the weather. Some of my family are going down to the old home place for a centenary homecoming. And my wife was worried that it was going to rain. And so I turned on the TV, and there was a news clip about the Palestinians. And here were little kids in the streets throwing rocks at tanks because hatred fills them with rage. Darkness and evil are alive and well in our world. Now, in Ephesians, the writer has been telling us of how special we are. We were spoken forth before the foundations of the world, that we are gifted by God, that we are blessed by God, that we have an opportunity to have the wisdom of God in our lives. And he gets right down to the end of this letter, pretty much to say, and all of these good things that God gives us, especially the gift of Christ and the church, are for something important. And he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in your personal life, but also in the life of the world. For our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of the present darkness of our world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. That the battle is not just waged in this community or in our city or nation or on the globe. This battle between good and evil exists in the whole cosmos and the entire creation of God. But in Christ Jesus, we already know that God has the victory. So what's the point? We don't know how many casualties there are going to be. There is a war raging. It has always been raging. And it will until Jesus comes in final victory. And we're either a victim or a victor in that battle. And Paul is telling us how we can survive, how we can make a difference. Because he says God has equipped us to be a part of a battle against evil in our world. But you see, we've got to start by fighting that evil and sin in our own lives. How the devil wants to tempt us. You know, not to be some gruesome person like Adolf Hitler and the absurdity of a present movie that's on, you know, to figure out who's the most evil, Freddy or what's the other guy? What? Jason, okay. I mean, you see, we do these horror stories and then we got to put the two horror stories together and see who's the most evil. But I think we're drawn to that sometimes, some people are, because we realize there is evil in our world. There are things we just can't explain. There's something in human beings that is so despicable, we don't even want to talk about it. And yet God has recruited every one of us here this morning to be soldiers in his army to fight that kind of evil. You may not realize it, but when you were baptized, you volunteered. But are you equipped? Are you equipped to fight that battle? And Paul says, yes, you are. You are equipped. I mean, we've got active and retired military represented in this church big time. And boy, when you're in the Army or the Air Force or the Navy or the Coast Guard or Marines, when you come into those services, they issue you equipment. When you specialize, you get the equipment for that specialty. So you've got a better chance to be a victor instead of a victim. And Paul says God's done that for us too. And he invites us to put on the whole armor of God. And he's using the image probably of a member of the Praetorian Guard, that elite group that surrounded the provincial governor, Pontius Pilate. But he turns the image of that powerful and mighty soldier into an image of a powerful and mighty Christian who has been enlisted in the cause to fight the battle of evil. And he says, God's equipped you to do this. to help fight the devil and evil every day, in small ways and big ways, because you can put on the full armor of God and take a stand for God and be victorious for God. How do you do it? How do you stand firm against evil? Well, first of all, so he says, I want you to fasten on the belt of truth. Because when you put that belt on, that helps to hold on the breastplate of righteousness. They go together. The Praetorian guards had a beautiful bronze breastplate over a leather breastplate. And the bottom of that was held on with a belt. And Paul says that the first thing you've got to put on is the truth of God to hold on the righteousness of God. And that's going to protect your heart. That God has claimed your heart. God wants it to be a pure heart. And that breastplate held on with the belt of truth is going to protect your heart. Then he tells us to put on the shoes or the sandals that will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. I think that's interesting. He's talking about a worldwide cosmic war with evil, and we are going to put on the shoes, the sandals of the gospel of peace, where God restores life to what it ought to be. God offers fulfillment and blessing and goodness. Now, why did Paul say, put on the sandals of the gospel of peace? Well, when the Roman soldiers were ready to encounter the enemy that was far away, they put on hobnose sandals, the kind of short sandals, the sandals, the boots that allowed them to walk the distance. Not the kind of clanky things with the metal things on the shin and the thighs, which would make it difficult to move around. But with these short hobnail boots or sandals, they could move quickly. They could go where they were needed. They could wipe out threats to the empire. They were ready to go wherever the evil was to attack it there. And Paul says, we must put on the sandals of the gospel, because the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to march to the places where we need to fight evil the most and make a difference. But we're to take with us a few things too. First of all, we're to take with us the shield of faith. Now, the kind of shield that Paul was talking about here was one of those really big shields. If you've watched some movies like Gladiator of recent years, these are shields that are maybe 4 to 5 feet tall and 2.5 to 3 feet wide. They're made out of wood to make them a little lighter, but they're covered with leather hide so that when the enemy's archers dip the points of the arrows in to pitch and light them, that when they strike the shield, the leather prevents them from setting the wood on fire. And Paul says, our faith will do that for us, not just to isolate us, but for us to go out into the world and fight evil and make a difference. That shield of faith will quench the fiery darts of the evil one. The ugly things that people hurl at us, the insults, the insinuations, the innuendos, that our faith can capture those things that people throw at us and allow us to function and operate. We can crouch down behind that faith and be protected. We can fight our battle from behind that shield of faith to fight against evil. Maybe it's something at work. Maybe it's something in the neighborhood, or maybe it's something at school that's difficult to deal with. Or maybe it's out on the playground or the ball field. But when we have the shield of faith with us, we are protected. He also says, put on the helmet of salvation. The old Roman helmet, you know, especially of the Praetorian God, had that kind of pompous red, whatever you call it up there. I mean, really made them stand out and special. You know, it's a little bit like in our services, we have the different colored berets to say, you know, what unit is special, to identify them. And the Romans had that too. But the functional part of the helmet had a nose piece to cover them here and metal pieces that came around and covered the cheeks. But Paul says, put on a different kind of helmet. You need something to protect your head, to protect your mind. And that's what salvation does for you. When you know that you are saved, when you know that you already possess eternal life because of the gift of God in Christ Jesus, because of His sacrifice on the cross, because of His resurrection from the dead, when you know you are saved, God will protect your mind from giving in to evil. And finally, He says, pick up the sword. And the sword He was talking about was not one of these big, long swords of the Knights of the Round Table. It was a little short sword, sometimes called a dagger, but we think of a dagger as really short. You know, it was probably about 18 inches to 2 feet. It was a sword used for close-in combat, face-to-face, hand-to-hand, gut to gut, one-on-one, battling with the enemy. And He says, if you'll pick up that sword is the Spirit. When you get in tough, close places and you're fighting for your life as a Christian, the Holy Spirit will cut through it all, and evil will fall before you. I went to see SWAT last week, and good movie. And you know, a SWAT team is somewhat the modern equivalent in our everyday lives of what Paul's talking about in the Praetorian soldier. I mean, they got the headgear, they got the bulletproof vest, they've got the special boots and knee pads and all of that. They even have the big shields to hide behind when they're dealing with hostage situations and things like that. They've got their weapons for long range and short range, and knives for close hand-to-hand combat. I mean, if you can't picture a Praetorian guard, think of an elite SWAT team member equipped to handle the toughest situations that come the way of the police. Every day, when we get up, brush our teeth, take our showers or baths, put on our clothes, spiritually, we need to clip on the belt of truth, to hold on a breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts. We need to put on the shoes that'll take us where the gospel needs us to go to make a difference in the world. We need to carry with us the shield of faith that'll guard us against anything evil out there. We need to put on the helmet of salvation so our minds are protected from the deceits and the darkness of the world, and pick up our sword, the Holy Spirit, to fight our battles and win through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a war raging in our world and in the whole cosmos. Jesus has won the battle, but how many casualties there will be depend on whether you're willing to be a soldier in that army. If you're not willing to be a soldier in that army, you could lose someone in your immediate family. You could lose a good friend or a cherished neighbor because you don't bother to put on the whole armor of God each day when you get up and realize that you're a part of God's army to make a difference in the world. And this ambassador in chains asked the people at Ephesus, pray for me that even though I'm in prison, even though I'm in chains, that I may speak boldly the truth of Jesus Christ to fight against the evil of the world. Are you going to be a victor in the battle or a victim? It's your choice. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Father, it seems like 6 days a week at least, we go out into the world and we really feel like we're fighting a battle. We don't always think of it as a part of a cosmic battle between good and evil. Maybe that would explain why some of day-to-day life's pretty tough. But you've given us the equipment we need. But if we don't recognize that that battle rages every day and put on the equipment, it doesn't do us much good on the shelf or in the closet. And we don't make much of a difference in the world. With the confidence of knowing that the battle has already been won, may we fight to minimize the victims of the spiritual warfare, that more and more may join Christ our King in heaven on that final day. Amen.